From somewhere in the Houston Midtown area, it's The Sit Down with Slick Vic.
Welcome everyone, it's The Sit Down with Slick Vic. Here's your host, Slick Vic, aka Victor Beltran. I'm joined today by an old friend, but not an old person, Miss Jennifer Franco. Jennifer, thanks for coming on the show.
Sure thing. Happy to be here.
We'll cover a few things about Jennifer. She's had a lot of stuff going on. How long has it been since we seen each other? It's been a while, huh?
It's been a while, yeah. I mean, I think you attended one of my parties, which was nice.
Christmas party.
A Christmas party, yes.
Very, very, very well hosted, I might say.
Thank you. I love to entertain and host.
Yeah. So Jennifer has been up to a lot since I last really talked to her. But before we get into all that, let's kind of give everybody just a little bit of background about yourself. So I met you at Federal Grill. Shout out to Matt Bryce, Jen Bryce, and fabulous establishment. I think our love for whiskey definitely grew there.
Oh, for sure.
That was a mutual bond that we shared. And I think at the time you were going to school at that time.
I was. So like many of us, were waiting tables and going to school at the same time. I was just right around finishing up with my degree. I completed school. I did very well. I also,
graduated
with the honors, education.
Education. Okay.
Yes. So I do have an educational background. I did teach for a little bit. And I learned a lot. I've done my own little studies with the kids and stuff. And I've come to learn so much about just human behavior and human learning.
Now, let me ask you this. When did you decide that that was like what you wanted to pursue? Did you always want to be a teacher when you were younger, or was it something that you kind of stumbled into?
I kind of stumbled into, you know, as many of us, we kind of go into college not really knowing what we want to do. But ultimately, we get some kind of turn of events that leads us into a certain path. And I took my first psychology class and I was in love. I was learning so much about human behavior, the human mind, and sociology. Why is it that humans do what they do? And to learn more about that and to really get into my own research, I then took the educational route because it was my play field to learn as well. Learn with the kids. Mm-hmm.
And you said you taught a little bit. Did you teach younger kids or middle school?
I stayed with the younger kids. You know, I tried with middle school and high school. No, I stuck with fifth grade, particularly fifth grade science. I taught that for 2 years there, so.
Yeah, it's a little bit easier when they're younger, right? They're not as troublesome?
They're not. They're still in, I guess, a stage where they really need that validation from their teacher. So they seek it, they need it, they work for it. So
they're not as corrupt, is what you're saying.
No, yeah.
Still innocent little minds.
Yes, yeah.
Well, that's good. So at what point did you make a shift? Let's talk a little bit about your current business, mm-hmm. Apparel Up is the name of it.
Correct? Yes, yes.
It's mainly like an embroidery business for companies like their uniforms or different stuff.
Right. So it's a screen printing and embroidery business. So anything custom apparel we can do. And aside from, you know, the organizations like football teams and cheerleaders or anything like that, we actually kind of stay away from that a little bit. We focus more so on big companies and supplying their uniforms. So for instance, Mercedes, all their employees wear polos with the embroidered emblem. And that's kind of what we do all day long. Electrical companies, dealerships, actually schools, churches, and even restaurants as well.
So let me ask you this. So you went to school for education, but now you're a successful owner to a screen printing embroidery business. How did that happen? What was the inspiration behind this business?
You know, it's crazy. I feel like I have told this story so many times, and every single time it just brings back all these memories and stuff. But with all honesty, it happened really, really fast. Extremely fast, actually. I think I was just kind of going through something. It was summer. So, you know, you're off. You have all this time off. What are you going to do? I found myself just doing a whole lot of nothing, or just nothing productive. And my brother came to me with an idea. He was already working in this business.
Excuse me.
No, you're fine. He was already working in the industry. And he told me about it. And my brother's a really smart guy. Mm-hmm. He likes to analyze everything. And he told me, Jen, you know, this is kind of what we do. This is what the margins are. Help me. Let's do it. Let's buy our machine. Let's buy a machine. I was like, okay, well, I did look at the margins and I'm all about numbers, right? And I was like, wow, this is pretty good. And if you can sell this and sell that, we'll be just fine.
Was it initially, like, was he trying to push out like an original design, or was it just simply let's provide a service because the numbers are good?
You know, working in that business, being so hands-on and learning every job title there, he's come to learn the numbers. He's learned to do everything, the screen printing, the embroidery. He learned how everything works, but most importantly, how the business works. And when he came to me with the numbers and the whole process, I was like, okay.
He put in the work.
He put in the work. He really did. And for me at that moment, it was just mostly as an investor, you know, the funds. Help me get my own machine.
Right.
Okay. No problem. I mean, that's my little brother. He's younger and I want him to do something and have something for himself. So I helped him. We got it fairly quickly. I've learned how to use it. And I was like, okay, you know, I can maybe do some shirts for different businesses here and there. And I did. And so did he. And next thing we know, we're working for ourselves in my parents' garage. Right. And I've realized, and he's realized this early on, Jennifer's an asset because of the people that she knows.
Right.
So when I was getting these orders and he was fulfilling these orders, it was just nonstop work for us. So then it just started to grow a lot quicker than what we thought.
You hit the ground running.
Yes. Yeah. And next thing I know, it's either time to go back to teaching or not. And don't get me wrong, it's not that I didn't enjoy teaching, but I knew I was just ready to do something that challenges me far more, you know,
right?
Besides being in a room all day long, I just wanted a little more freedom. And I went literally 100% on this. From one day to another, I rented out a commercial space. Very next day, I opened up an LLC, my bank accounts, and it was just like not stopping. I couldn't stop anymore. I had to keep going. And here I am now with many employees, two locations, and just accounts coming in from left to right, day to day.
Two locations. Wow. I remember your first location. I remember you were just like, I don't know why. I can't remember, recall the occasion why I came to your store, but I saw it and you didn't have anything in there yet. You were just barely getting stuff going.
Mm-hmm.
You were very excited about it. And I was just like, okay, didn't know this was happening, but this is cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, I follow you on Instagram and you definitely have let the world know how your company has grown, and I see it happening, and it's you know, you went from what, one machine? How many machines do you have now?
I have about 1, 2, 3, maybe like 4, but
they're big.
They're
right?
big, so they run a pretty big production. So
how many shirts can you crank out in a day?
Oh, like maybe like 5,000 maybe. Yeah. Wow. The printing, the machine does most of the work, but it's more so the folding and packaging that takes a lot of labor as well. And just the preparation to set the job takes some time. But ultimately, the machines do all the work and they are a lot of the work and they get it all done. So,
yeah, that's very interesting. I remember when it happened, I was just curious on how that transition happened. Because I remember the last time I talked to you, you were kind of doing school with the teaching. Yeah. So,
you know, sometimes you just don't know where life is going to take you. But what people don't realize, there's so much opportunity, so many windows, or so many doors, I like to say, so many doors that you can go through. And I mean, I don't want to say not many people take those or walk through those doors, but you kind of have to explore it. At least go in a little bit, and then if you don't like it, just come out and go on to the next one, you know?
How much, I mean, people might say that, oh, well, you shouldn't have gone to school because you ended up doing this other business. What do you say about that? Did school help you prepare for this moment, or?
You know, at first, I'm just thinking about the financial aspect, you know, going into school, four-year university, it can put you in debt for many, many people. And even I had scholarships and still I'm in debt, you know, and working throughout school and I'm still in debt. It happens, and it happens for pretty much anyone that goes to school. So yeah, I mean, at first thinking about it, I'm just like, man, if I would have found this or ran full with this business way before, I'd probably be way ahead now, especially with the money that I spent in school. But I do have an educational degree, and I've now realized what I've learned at school. I've now implement all that into my business today. Whether it's motivating my employees as I did with motivating my students, holding them accountable and all that, and also being a role model for them. But also most importantly is, just the, higher order critical thinking skills that I've developed, throughout school and the education degree. What people don't realize, that we have four literacy skills, which is, listening, reading, speaking, and writing, right? We all practice this throughout the day, right? We learn to listen as toddlers. We learn these words. We then start to speak. Then we go off to school and learn how to read and write. And, we may practice this, throughout the day, but people don't realize that thinking is also a literacy skill. For many people, it's quite difficult to organize their thoughts. And it really is. It's challenging. You know, in school, when we did the whole web map to kind of organize our thoughts before we would write, it's the same thing. And we need to practice this. But how do we get to the top of the hierarchy, right? So there's Bloom's taxonomy. I would like for people to look into this. And it goes into the different categories of thinking. Mm. At the very bottom is what we call remembering. So to give you an example, we have an exam, right? And there is a question where you have to match the definition to the word. I mean, if you study for it, it's fairly easy.
Right.
It's easy. But what about the very top of the hierarchy when it's now creating, drawing, developing? That is the highest order thinking skill. And that's where I am today. I created a whole business. You know how difficult that is?
Yeah.
So if people challenge themselves every day to practice this literacy skill, which is thinking, to really challenge themselves to throw in that word create in their sentences, right? How can I create, I don't know, a table or create... a song, or in this case, a business or a hobby, people would be challenged in a different way. And, I think that's just really important.
No. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thinking is a skill that I think some people, you know, don't really work on it as much.
Yeah.
I always view the brain as like a muscle, you know,
and it is.
You have to work the brain out, you know. So like even stuff like playing chess, mm-hmm. or just really complicated like mathematical equations, like if you spend a lot of time doing stuff like that, like you physically get tired.
Yeah.
Because your thinking is it drains the body. I mean, and you're right. It's something that you need. And I think that is something that helped me out when I went to college as well, was all that extra learning. Sometimes you might take a class and you're like, why am I taking this class? But it still gets the brain going, right? It still has residual effects down the line.
Right.
Okay. So, let's talk a little bit about, COVID, right? COVID is, still going on. It's still, having major effects on businesses and mm-hmm. people's lives.
Oh yeah.
How long ago did you start the business?
I started about maybe three years ago.
3 years ago. So how did COVID, you know, in March affect the business? Was there, did you see dips? Was there any?
Drastically. I mean, if any business tells you otherwise, they're lying. It affected every business one way or another.
Right.
Some good, some bad. Who knows? But it affected you some way, right? Yeah. I mean, we had these large orders ready to go, right? And we were about to process them, and everybody pretty much canceled. They wanted to cancel their orders to keep the relationship. You know, I went ahead and did it. So all this money and income that you have coming in is completely done. Now all businesses are closing. So our business is closed, right? Because we rely on other businesses. So everything's just wiped out. We're pretty much in a lockdown, right? We have so many restrictions, and my employees can't work. Although I can go to my business, I can't really open my doors. And even then, no one would be purchasing. That's the reality. So it affected me, affected the business, and affected my employees, who I dearly care for. And, you know, they have families at the end of the day, and they need this job to provide. And it saddened me so much. And I've never spent so much time alone in my home, you know. So I think that also does something to a human. You know, we're very social creatures, especially I'm probably above average on social. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. That's more how, you know, it's come affected you personally. But, you know, I'm kind of the same way. I think, you know, we've hung out on plenty of occasions when we worked at Federal. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I like to get down, you know, I like to have a good time.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not happening.
Yeah.
And it affected me as well, you know, especially maybe not in the very, very beginning, but after a couple months, you know, you kind of miss that interaction with people, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what have you done to deal with that? Have you done anything to kind of maybe, like, I know people have done like in-house dates with significant others, just have like a little in-house date, or the drive-through movie theater. I mean, there's like, yeah. Have you looked into
that? Well, you know what? It's funny enough, because my boyfriend and I were deciding to move in together right around that time. And after spending so much time alone, I was like, yes, let's go ahead. Let's do it. The market was on fire. I mean, you could pretty much find anything early. Now, you know, you really can't find much. Everyone's acting on it. If they can, they have. So we ended up moving together. We spent so much time together. And he actually wasn't, he was in school at the time, and he was doing clinicals at the hospital.
Right.
But because it was just so high risk, they had them just stop. So now here are two people spending so much early on relationship, spending so much time in a home together. That was another challenge within itself. Yeah.
Is that still recording?
Oh, no, I think it stopped. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead and start. We'll just have a lot of me in that other shot for that little bit of time.
Okay. All right, there it goes.
Just a little technical difficulty, folks. Mm-hmm. But you still have the audio. Where did we leave off? Oh, yeah. So how has that been? Like, has that been, don't want to get too personal, but having moved in with somebody during COVID, like, that's a lot of time together.
That was a lot of time together, a lot. But you know what? I mean, I guess we're still.
But he's working though, right?
Yes. So he was in school to become an anesthesiologist, and, you know, have gone through so much school already. He was just in the last phases with clinicals and all his rotations and stuff. So he's done now. He got his job offer and everything. So he's working now. But, you know, not being done at that time, me just having a suffering business during COVID, it was a lot. And also learning about one another.
Yeah.
And how, you know, maybe ourselves not being at our best selves, how does that affect a relationship too? So, but I am happy and proud to say that we're good.
Oh,
yeah,
good,
we're good. We're good. We're good. Actually, we had moved into a home, right? And we just recently purchased a home together.
Oh, so
we,
nice.
We're moving pretty quick, guys. We really are. Yeah. I think once you know.
How long have y'all been together?
So now it's officially been a year and like 4 or 5 months, I think.
Okay. I mean, me and my girl, I mean, we bought a home. We have a baby.
Yeah.
And we've been together, you know, for a little over a year. So, yeah. I feel you.
I know, right? I think once you start hitting these like certain phases in life, it's just a no-go from there. Like straight shot. You just one thing after another, like milestone after milestone. And it surprises me how quickly just life just hits you, you know? Sometimes with the whole business, like I said, it was really, really fast in my relationship and where I stand now. But if you want it, you know, you'll continue to walk or run that path. And if you don't, you kind of stay stagnant, you know, and lost until another door opens and you follow that path or something.
Now, let me ask you this. How, you know, this, you know, I feel like the state of the country is very like unbalanced. It's very, lots of friction going on in the country. How have you seen that kind of affect your life? Do you generally just keep kind of positive people around you to where you don't really have too much negativity? Or have you also had to experience some of this turmoil with what's going on? Not just politics.
But I know. I was like, is this a politic question?
I'm not a person who really cares what people's political beliefs are because I have friends and family on both sides.
Right.
So,
right.
Which I love.
Yeah.
So, we're going to have a conversation about it, but at the end of the day, we're still going to have dinner. We're still going to talk. We're still going to have fun. So, I mean, have you had experience with that in your life where right now there's issues, not just with politics, but with COVID, and there's like so many polarizing issues currently in this country. And I was just wondering how it's kind of affected you.
Well, we do have COVID. We do have the whole election going on and just the people suffering as well from that. And, you know, I don't like getting into politics too much just because people have really strong beliefs and that tension, I try to avoid it, right? But I will say, though, I feel that our country has been more divided than it's ever have. And that is one thing that I just can't stand for. I love this country. I was born to immigrant parents. So for them to have come to this country and done so much to raise us and raise us well, I would hate, you know, for our country to, you know, go to shit, basically.
Yeah, no, I mean, the way I see it is that, like I said, regardless of what side you're on, I mean, let's just keep it civil.
Yeah.
Let's have a conversation. I feel like it's really just like the far left or the far right. Everybody else that's kind of in the middle is fine.
Yeah.
Because they're willing to talk about it.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, what's messed up, I think, is that because everybody has social media, because everybody can post something on any platform, you think that all these people are like this, but it's only like a couple of people.
Right.
And that kind of represents the big majority when in reality, it's just a small amount of people that are idiots.
Well, I will say in psychology, humans like to conform, right? And here we have our leader, President Trump, right? And the way he acts out, he has disrespected women. Disabled veterans, Hispanics, Mexicans, as myself. He tries to exude power and just confidence, but not in the right way. Very prideful and stubborn. I mean, look at the things that he tweets. I've started to see those Trump supporters become him. You're able to point them out. You know who they are. Because they act out just like him. And that's what I can't stand in this country right now. It's just sad to me. I don't like it one bit. I'm a leader at work. My employees look up to me. And being a teacher, the students look up to me as a role model. So I know a thing or two about being a leader. And at the end of the day, be the person that you needed.
Okay, you know a thing or two. Let's just say... tomorrow you're president We just made you president of the United States. What would you do? How would you handle these things?
Well, for one, look into global warming and climate change here. It's one thing that probably gets overseen. Technology has evolved, and it's evolved fairly quickly in such a little time. So we're more than capable, but I think there should be more money going into this research. Because look at us, it's December. We're out here. It's hot.
It's hot.
It's hot. Hot. It is so, so, so hot here in Houston. And look at the glaciers. They're melting. So now sea level is rising. And what people don't realize, so there was a point in life where I had a hobby. I love to grow coral. I know, right? But the reason why...
How did that happen? You saw somebody or you saw a commercial
I went scuba diving. And instead of gazing at the fish, I was more so impressed by the coral. Because without the coral, there's no shelter for... Right. The fish. So
did I just you have became like a big tank, or how does that work, growing coral?
Yeah, I did, in my home, and it involves a whole lot of care, and it's actually really expensive. Yes. But the reason why I said that is because people don't realize that coral is dying. It is because of the overwhelming heat. So people also don't know that the ocean absorbs so much heat, 80% of the heat. And now the ocean becomes so warm and raising temperatures that the coral is starting to die. And without coral, everything has a domino effect, right? Now the fish have no shelter. So now what's happening with the fish? They're also dying. Yeah. And we eat fish. We need fish for many, many reasons. And I think, to me, it's a problem. So I try to do my part and grow coral in my home. But, you know, that what can I do with that, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I agree with you. I'm, I guess I don't, maybe I should do more of my part. I'm not a big recycler. So I kind of contribute to the problem. But yeah, no, when it comes to like the ocean, you know, there's definitely global warming. There's definitely people polluting. I think polluting is also a huge problem.
The emissions, yes. That alone. I mean, we own a car, which we all do.
Right.
It's just, I know there could be more that we could do.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Apparel Up, the leading custom apparel provider in Houston, Texas. They help their customers represent their brand correctly with high-quality, long-lasting custom apparel. Whether you're in need of embroidered scrubs for your medical practice, embroidered polos for your nationwide enterprise, or screen-printed shirts for your sport team, they got you covered. They also do the apparel for my show, so definitely buy some of that stuff too. And you can find their website at apparelup.us. Check them out. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by The Ranch Houston. Comprised of Ashe Yoga and Wellness, The Garden Project, and The Mill HTX, is an intentional, conscious organization created for adults to connect to an inclusive community through art, food, nature exploration, and movement, and for school-aged children to empower themselves through education on sustainability and edible gardening. Everyone is encouraged to connect to the curiosity of their inner child as they nurture their nature in a world that so often encourages separation and fear. Minority and veteran-owned, The Ranch Houston is located south of the Medical Center, and you can visit their website at www.theranchhouston.com. I highly recommend it. I've been there. It's awesome. Check it out. So it seems like you have which you are. You're a younger person. What are you like in your mid?
I'm 26.
26, mid-20s. But like government is run by a bunch of old people.
Yes.
Older people. I mean, insult all the old people out there. But our government, it has so many people who are, you know, 60, 70 years old, and they just see things differently because they grew up and were raised in a different time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the issues, you know, with the government kind of adapting, is because they just have this old mind mentality.
Well, that too. I mean, if you look at Biden, that's actually something that he wants to do. He wants to look into climate change. But, you know, that looks beautiful on paper. Right. Everybody loves to hear that. But, you know, who knows what will be done. But I also think the government knows a lot more than what we do. I mean, look at Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk. Why are they trying to get people to a different planet? I think they know. I think there's more stuff out there that we don't know, but people just need to take a minute to really critically think and ask, why are things the way that they are? Why do they want to take people to the moon? Why are they spending their money to do so instead of, I don't know, looking into climate change research, or maybe they're conducting their own research. I think they just know more than what we know.
Yeah, I think that they definitely have a lot of stuff that they don't reveal, but you also got to think about, you know, who's greasing them up, who's putting money in their pockets, because, you know, big oil, you know, mm-hmm. they have a lot of money, and, you know, they don't want us to go away from oil, because that's going to mean less money for them. I mean, I think you start to see a little bit of a transition, companies like Exxon and BP to like alternative fuels.
But it's out there.
It's definitely not moving in the direction, or at least in the speed.
We just need someone to really enforce it. But we're all about money, and that's what the government is as well. And I mean, Houston is run on oil money. You know that?
Absolutely.
We can't get rid of it.
Now let me ask you this, since you brought it up. You know, the power of money, the driver of the world, right?
Okay.
Have you ever, I mean, you talked about, I'm sure when your business was booming, things were good, right? Money coming
yes.
You know, popping bottles, right? I know. how do you view money in terms of how people view it and how you should view it?
I view money as an opportunity. The more capital that I gain, the more opportunities that I have, right? More things that I can do, more things that I can build. That's how I see it. I just want to keep going.
But do you see that there are times where the cost is too high for the money?
Yes, I do. But you just have to ask yourself, you know, is it worth it? Is it where it interferes with your morals and principles? So in that aspect, yes, and I have seen it. But in my case, you know, I kind of refrain myself from that. So,
do you like to tie in kind of like with you? I don't think I got an answer. I didn't ask you this question. Your business, I did, but I remember you were saying that it had to do a lot with the money, right? He did the kind of the legwork on showing you, hey, you know, the numbers, and the numbers looked good. So you were kind of influenced by that. Mm-hmm. But did you... now that you've been doing it for a while, do you like it? Like, do you like that feeling of being the boss? Like, you know, you're the boss, you know,
I
CEO,
am, yeah.
You know, yeah. That's got to feel different, right? Than just being someone's employee.
Honestly, I think I'm exactly where I need to be. This is, I think, what I was born to do, because even at school teaching, I had, again, that leadership role, but I was actually going to continue school to become a principal. I really wanted this school to be well organized. I wanted to do things differently to inspire the kids and the work force here, right? The teachers, without them being highly motivated, we don't have a good education in that school. So I just want to do things differently. I had different ideas, and I just want to implement those ideas at school that I would have been a principal at. But now being a boss, CEO of my company, I mean, it feels great. Don't get me wrong. It comes with a lot of challenges working with so many people. And I also work with my brother. You know, we started this together. So like I said, just challenges of its own.
You know, you brought him up. So let's talk about your brother. I believe his name is Jerry, right?
Hey, Jerry.
Your brother, Jerry.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jerry. A lot of, you know, there's a lot of opinions on should you work with family, right? Mm-hmm. I believe Biggie said you shouldn't mix business and family in the Ten Crack Commandments. Great song. So, let's hear from you. How how have you found this relationship? Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming it's, has it had an effect on the personal relationship, or do you do a good job of kind of keeping those separate?
You know, I wouldn't recommend it. I think people want to hear, you know, that you should work with family and it's okay, but no, I don't recommend it at all. We bump heads a lot, like anyone would, you know, if you had a business partner, a friend, whoever they may be, investor, because we're family, sometimes we kind of, we just have so much leeway, you know,
right.
And you want to eliminate that factor. So I wouldn't recommend it. I will say it's very nice to see a family member, work with family day to day. But aside from not seeing eye to eye, I think just that one barrier of just being family and knowing that you probably can get away with a lot, especially he's my younger brother. He's younger. He's found success at a much younger age. You know, his friends are practically still in school. So let me tell you, he's already driving a Range Rover. He spends money left to right. And we just don't have the same mentality when it comes to being financially literate, right. And how that affects the business as well. So that's one aspect there. I think that's been our biggest challenge. And like you said, to your money question, basically, and if it comes at a cost or the way that I perceive money, it's not the same way that I do with him. So, yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah, that's what I hear a lot of people saying. You know, I think the people that I have found who have worked in the same business and were family members do a really, really good job of separating it, you know. But like you were saying, it's hard, right?
It's hard. I feel like if you were to see my brother and I, which everyone does on Instagram, social gatherings, they think we're the perfect dynamic duo. They do. We can put a act in front of everybody, but ultimately it's a toxic environment. People don't want to hear that word. So many people are probably in toxic relationships. They don't like to accept it. And I will say it is a toxic relationship because you are comfortable with one another. You know what you can get away with, and you know that person so well that you use those things against them sometimes. And that is a toxic relationship. So people don't like to hear that, but I'm sure you can agree. Your brother, your sibling, whatever it may be, they know how to push your buttons, and they will, just for just the overall act of feeling better about themselves in that moment, to have angered you, triggered right. anger or annoy you or whatever it may be. They know how to push your buttons. And yeah, sometimes that happens in the work environment and it is toxic. So I don't recommend it. I know. It probably doesn't sound so pretty, but that is the reality. And I think a lot of people would definitely agree with me. But I know at the end of the day, it is love, and we love each other very, very much. We will be celebrating his girlfriend's birthday today, in which I'll be there. And like I said, we still work alongside each other. But he has opened other businesses, actually, to kind of refrain himself from kind of working with me every day.
Okay. Well, I think I've seen something on your story or something. I think a neon light.
Yes. So he does. He has OMG neon signs. And basically, and it's a trend right now. Everybody loves neon signs. Every business loves to have a neon sign so that people can take a picture in front of the sign, right? It's great for marketing and advertising. And that's basically what he's doing. He is running that trend. And he's created an amazing website where you can create, it has a design lab, basically, where you can create your own sign.
So,
and easily order.
So he basically, his service is making custom neon signs.
Yeah.
And this is a recent venture that he has pursued?
Yes, probably maybe 3 months ago, just about three, maybe four. Took about a good 2 months to create this website from day to night, nonstop. To create a website like that.
Who did the creation?
So we do have a really good friend who does all of our website development. His name is Noel, and he is, it's a Phoenix Marketing, I believe, is what he goes under.
Shout out to Phoenix Marketing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No. So I'm sure this has kind of been nice for you, right? Now he's kind of got this other business he's working on, so
yes,
maybe kind of gives you a little bit more control of the other business. Or,
well, actually, technically, we completely separated, so I own Apparel Up completely.
Oh, okay.
Now and he now has brand exposure, which is the same exact thing, screen printing and embroidery. We share the facility, but he now is branded on his own, and I'm branded on my own. And let me tell you, it was mostly due to tax purposes. You know, right. Like I said, he would kind of wild out on the business card. He would, and I understand. You see all this money on a business card. Okay, yeah. He thinks you can expense anything, and you can't. And you can't. And after telling him so many times, I was like, look, this is affecting me and affecting my taxes. So I can't do this anymore. And we had to separate, and he completely agreed. And I think it was for the best, again, because you're working with family, you think you can get away with certain things, and you do until you push the limits. And I pretty much said, that's it. We can't do this anymore. And now it's made him so much more financially responsible now that he has his own LLC and business and his own bank accounts. And yeah, he's very, very responsible now. But again, it's because we're family. He just, you know, so he can get away with it until I really, really put my foot down. And that's what I had to do.
Okay. You're the big sister, right? You had to kind of show him, hey, you know, I'm the big sister, and it's going to happen like this.
Yeah, I had to. I mean, don't get me wrong. It went on. I'm surprised it went on as long as it did. But again, as being the big sister, I want to see him happy. I almost kind of lived through him. I was like, oh, wow, look at all this. You get to drive this. You get to do this. You get to see this. It's amazing. And it made me really happy because at the end of the day, it was his hard work, his idea. So it was really important for me to see all that. It made me really happy. But at the same time, you gotta work to keep what you have. And that's what people sometimes fall off. They don't realize what all they have in front of them and how easily it can be taken away.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, COVID has definitely shown everyone that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So many businesses
went out of business. Even the bigger businesses that you think, oh, no, that would never happen. But people don't realize so many expenses within just a month. And if you don't have a savings or you can't produce for a good 3 months, then you're pretty much done. Yeah.
Yeah, no one could have seen this coming.
No, I've never seen anything like this. It's really eye-opening and just really scary. And to think that this can happen again, and it could be 5 times worse than what it is now.
Yeah, no, I'm actually like, I remember in the beginning, I was one of those people that was like, oh, this will be over in a couple months. It's no big deal. And I was mm-hmm. I was really wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it, like you said, it could be a lot worse because, you know, it's bad. But in terms of how many people it affects, it's not a big percentage. And if you had something like, let's just say it affected 10% of the population, that's a lot.
Well, exactly. So this virus has been different. I mean, if you look at Ebola, that was, and the people that it affected, it almost completely wiped it out, like wiped them out, right? The way that they were falling and just honestly kind of dying from this, it's quite different with COVID because of it affects, I think, your respiratory,
mm-hmm.
What is it? Not respiratory disease, respiratory area, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's a respiratory disease, yeah.
Yeah, and so the people that really affects quite hard is those people with pre-existing conditions.
Right.
And my boyfriend works in a hospital, so he sees this all day long. And those are the people that really should be taking care of themselves, right? And being a lot more cautious. Don't get me wrong, everyone should, because you can affect anyone. Anyone can carry it. But I would just say if you have a pre-existing condition, definitely be careful.
Yeah, I think a big thing was like health. I think people realize that, you know, it's not pre-existing conditions, but people that aren't taking care of themselves, who I think the vitamin C was one of those big people that had a vitamin, was it D? Whatever, well, the sun helps you get D.
C.
Okay, yeah. So, because I remember...
Or is it D? Now you got me questioning it.
One of the letters.
Yeah. But also zinc for zinc, immune support. Yes, that was definitely the biggest one. And elderberry for immune support as well. Those are the two things that we were taking religiously.
I just feel like just that narrative hasn't been pushed. Like, you don't hear... There should be like a national campaign to get people to be healthy.
Right.
But of course, that's not good for business, you know for what? All the companies.
Now that I think about it, exactly. You don't see too many commercials of this or that. Or I think they're just waiting to make this vaccine and really profit off of this.
Yeah.
Or something.
It's always about money, you know?
It really is. You'd be surprised. I mean, this world is definitely around
even,
by money.
Even like in times like these, right? These are pretty drastic times. Corporations don't really care. Like they still look at the bottom line, even though people are dying or people are sick or the economy's gone to shit. They don't care, you know, because like you said before in the beginning, some people are still making money. Like they are capitalizing.
Oh yeah,
out of people's despair.
No, of course, 100%. I mean, I think it was on the news where your own government, people in the House right now in the Senate. Yeah, they're capitalizing. They're putting money in their stocks. Yeah, they're taking advantage of this. What does that say about them, you know? So, it's definitely happening.
Now, you kind of touched on it a little bit, but I wanted to ask you, where do you see yourself going? Like, what? I mean, I know this hasn't been, like, you know, the best time for your business. So, you've definitely probably had to think about shifting or what other things you could do to make money. You need money. Everybody needs it. You got to have it. Like what do you have in any plans? Where do you see yourself like in 5 years in terms of your business? Or do you have anything else you are trying to do?
Mm-hmm. So let me tell you, when COVID first happened, I was completely shut down. I wasn't making a dollar and I still had to pay rent and I still had to pay on my machines. All that was bundling up. I'm like, wow, this is crazy. I would have never thought something like this would happen, right? It's almost like the business was about to be taken away from me. So I started to look into the medical field, which was hot right now, right? All the nurses, doctors are working endlessly trying to handle this virus. And my boyfriend, of course, is in the medical field. And I was like, you can go to school, go to something that's promised, you know what you're expected to make. You know, the opportunity is endless there. There's always job opportunities in that field. So I was like, I'm going to go with something that is certain. I started looking into nursing school, 1 year accelerated program at St. Thomas. Then I really gave it some thought and I knew that I can push through. And I did. And now I'm here today. Still working hard to keep everything the way it is. And I still have so many more plans. But no, I know deep down, I'm just going to be a serial entrepreneur because I already have so many ideas for new businesses and stuff. And I'm working on one currently. Let me tell you, with entrepreneurs, any entrepreneur that you meet, they're in real estate one way or another.
Right.
And that's actually my next venture. It's real estate. Well, developing basically. So I'm actually creating or building my first subdivision in the Houston Heights. So I'm building three townhomes in a 5,000 square foot lot, which is rather small, but it's doable. And that's literally what I'm working on right now.
That is an awesome idea to do. I've actually thought about that. I think it's guaranteed money, right? People need to live.
And the housing market is through the roof.
Yeah.
As we were buying, we settled on something that just met our needs. We weren't in love with it, but you weren't going to find that because everything was going off the market like crazy. So
I had the same issue. Like we would go with our real estate agent, go out to look at houses, and we would see one that we liked, and she would tell us, put in an offer.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, then it's not going to be here. And we're just like, we didn't love it. We liked it. We didn't love it. So we didn't put in an offer.
Yeah.
And then like the next day, she's like, "Oh, that house is it's gone." Like, because we were asked about that house, you know, because you start looking at all these different houses, mm-hmm. you start to realize like. You really, like you said, you really just can't be too picky depending on what your price range is, depending on what kind of neighborhood you're looking into. Mm-hmm. You know, those are all factors. But I think that's a good idea. I think real estate is something that you catch it at the right time. Mm-hmm. You can definitely capitalize on it.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, honestly, your profit margin is way higher than any stock or bond. It grows way faster.
So, what words of wisdom would you give to somebody like just somebody who's like Jennifer? You know, I have this idea. It's a good idea, but I'm not sure if I should kind of give it my all. If I should really do this, what would you tell that person?
Have a plan. I know when I first went into it, I had a plan. I knew the steps that I needed to take. And I had a vision, which is the most important thing. People are just like, oh, you know, I want to do this. They may not know how, but you can learn how. But most importantly, you need to have a vision. Where do you really want to take that? Because every single day you have to work towards that. Right. So definitely vision and overall plan, step by step on how you're going to do it, basically. But with anyone that wants to do it. You need to explore that side. You do. And if you don't, you're not going to learn. You're not going to gain an experience. And you're not going to, most importantly, you're not going to learn whether it's for you or not, whether you like it or you don't. Because you can do it and you can fail. That's fine. But you got to convince yourself. Did I learn something from this? And with what I learned, am I going to do it again? And I'm going to do it right.
I think that's a very good point. Failure. I think people, they're scared of it. You know, you shouldn't be scared of failing. You should be. Obviously, nobody wants to fail. Like you don't. I don't think people would embark on something wanting to fail. But yeah. I think just accepting it and understanding that it's a part of the process.
Let me tell you. I've gotten to a point where, hey, throw all these curveballs at me now so I can learn.
Right.
So I can fail or just learn from it because you need to. That's sometimes the only way that you learn. So I'm okay with it. I fully accepted it. And I think once you accept failure and learning from your mistakes and the overall barrier of fear, overcoming fear and taking risks, wow. I think you'd be very successful. Yeah. It's mentally, spiritually, all around. Just accepting it. And stop just, you know, moving away from it. Just embrace it. Fear is good. If things don't, I get so much adrenaline from fear. I mean, what I'm doing now, I'm building 3 homes. That's crazy. That's really, really scary financially. And just construction. I don't know about construction, but I'm going to learn. And I'm going to do whatever I can to succeed. But I know I'm going to make some mistakes. I know I am. And that's okay. But I know I'm going to want to continue to do this because I've learned that real estate is where it is. I've always been fascinated with real estate always. So, and I know this is where I want to be. I've always wanted to be. So I'm really going to embrace the whole process.
Are you also like interior designer kind of type or?
Yeah, that too. I think my love for real estate is seeing all these beautiful homes, but also the interior. I'm huge with interior design. That is my creative medium. Everyone has their own medium, whether it be painting, playing an instrument, singing. Mine is interior design.
Yeah, so we could definitely, you'll probably end up having your service will include maybe remodeling or
interior design. Yeah, more than likely, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these homes, you got to learn what people are buying, what they like, and then just take all that into consideration and do just that. So seeing all these different homes, seeing what is selling, what people really like, and just putting a creative touch to it, my creative touch. I can't wait to show you guys what it's going to be like. I'm working with my architect right now and it's going to be completely different. Yeah.
Well, you heard it here, folks. We got Jennifer the Builder now.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
I think we covered a lot. Folks, you heard it here first. Inspirational words of wisdom for a successful entrepreneur. Follow those words of wisdom. Get off your lazy ass and follow that dream. Because if you don't try, you'll never succeed.
Yeah. You'll never learn.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
All right, folks. You have a good one.